Hi, I'm Alex Howard, and welcome to this week's episode of In Therapy, where we follow real people on their therapeutic journeys. In this week's episode, we're catching up with Sanaya, and we're exploring some of the key principles for learning to calm your nervous system and reset anxiety responses. If you haven't already, please like, subscribe, click the bell icon to be notified as new episodes are released, and do follow my Instagram at Alex Howard Therapy for daily inspiration and support. This week, we catch up with 22-year-old Sanaya, who recently came to therapy to get help with her anxiety. In our last session, Sanaya opened up that she has a hard time admitting to herself that anxiety is something she struggles with. I explained that avoiding our issues actually makes them worse and gave her some practical tools to begin transforming her anxiety. Well, Sanaya, it's lovely to see you. I've been wondering how you've been doing.
Yeah, no, I've been good since we last spoke. I've been doing a lot better. I've kind of felt a lot happier. Not sure exactly why, but I feel
that's like, going to be my next question.
Yeah, I feel like I've just been a lot less anxious. I've still had days where I've been very anxious, but I feel like it's kind of like something that, I feel like I can control it a bit more. I've just been a lot happier, and I think like meditating as well, like it's kind of helped me a lot. I've been really enjoying it,
and you're managing to do it most days.
I think I've been doing it every day, I think.
Amazing.
Since we last spoke, I think there was a couple days just after we spoke where I hadn't done it, and then as soon as I started it, I just enjoy it so much. I've gone for a run. And then I've gone like up this hill that's near my house and just sat there and done my meditation there.
Oh, nice.
And that was like the best thing, because like it made like the whole day, even though I had like a very average day, I was just sat home doing work and not doing too much, like making dinner or whatever. It made the whole day like really nice, and I just felt like fine.
That's awesome. But it's also nice to know that having a good day is not necessarily dependent upon outside factors, right? It's also, you can influence how you feel by what you do and the practices that you use.
Yeah, definitely. I think before I was kind of like heavily like focusing on like going to the gym, whereas I think the gym environment was actually kind of making me a bit anxious, which I didn't really realize. I think it was just all the people around there.
Like the stimulation and the noise.
Then it's also because it's so close to my house, I have so many people that I know that go there. And then I'm like, let me go this early in the morning so I don't see these people and all of that. So actually,
so you're like me, one of these introverted gym people. People looking at me. I'm just like to do but be in my own little space.
Exactly. And it's like, it's the gym. So it's like, you just want to get on with it, have your headphones in. And just get it done. But yeah, like recently, so my ex-boyfriend, he used to work there. So like he goes there often, but usually when I go in the morning, he's never really there, but it's still on my mind.
You always have to have the like designated slots, right? You're not allowed to go in my slot.
Yeah, exactly. And like I see all his friends because all his friends still work there.
Right. That's tricky, I get that.
So it was, it was making me a little, like I wasn't really anxious, but I just knew that I like really wanted to go to the gym. But then recently I went for a run and I was like, this is probably the most calming thing, because one, it was kind of better than actually just lifting weights, which is what I would do at the gym, just because I felt like my adrenaline, like I had more adrenaline, like I felt like I was calmer after.
You probably burnt off some of your excess energy as well.
Whereas I think when I was just lifting weights, I don't as much, basically.
I mean, I think, you know, ultimately from a health point of view, both are good, right? Like to have variety. Yeah. But I think it's also at different times, sometimes we need something that's really stimulating, other times something that's really grounding, other times something that's really restorative. And I think it's just listening to what your body wants as well.
So this week I've been doing like both. So like on certain days I'll go to the gym in the morning, especially when my dad can drive me. And then on the other days, I've been like just like going for a run or even like a walk, like a really long walk. And yeah, that's been really nice. And I feel like if I do that in the morning, it kind of just calms me throughout the day.
Like it sets your body and your mind up for the day.
Yeah. And then where there has been times that I've got anxious at home later on in the day, because I did the thing where like you write down what points you feel anxious throughout the day.
Yeah, right.
So I noticed in the evening, like late afternoon, that's when I'm most anxious.
Mm. Do you know why?
I think that might be when, because I feel like I have nothing to do, I think. And usually when I do go out and meet my friends, the anxiety comes just before, so like in the afternoon, and the anxiety is because I'm going out.
Right. And what are some of the anxiety patterns that you notice? So when you think about those times in the late afternoon, early evening, you're going out to meet friends and it's a bit more anxious. Mm. Do you have a sense of what the anxiety thoughts are? Like when, like there's the feeling of anxiety, but often there's a set of thoughts
Yeah, so it's usually anxious about how I'm going to get home, or it's anxiety about whether I'm going to be anxious when I'm out.
So it's anxiety about anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the getting home is about coming home on public transport late at night, or
it's just like how I'm going to get home. And I think if I was living on my own, I think if I wasn't living with my parents, it would be a lot easier. And I think that I wouldn't actually get anxious about it. But I think because I live with my parents, it's like this kind of worry that, oh, they'll worry about it, so I should worry about it too. Like, it's just, so that's kind of a bit annoying, because I know if I was still at uni, I would still think about how I was going to get home, but I'd know that I would be fine.
Right,
Whereas at home, at the moment, it's like my mom asked me so many questions about how I'm getting home. She will like stay up. If it's a late one, she'll stay up as well. If I'm getting an Uber, I'll have to track the Uber with her. So I think it's like this worry of like making them worried, but right. It's also making me really anxious because they're anxious.
So, well, it sounds like it's just also causing you to overthink the situation as well, which then stimulates your, as we talked about last time, then stimulates your nervous system, and then it becomes almost like a self-perpetuating cycle.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, I went on a night out for one of my friend's birthdays. And my mum was just, like, beforehand, she was like, oh, I hate you getting an Uber late at night. Like, isn't there anything else you can do? And I'm like, what other option is there?
Also, Uber's super safe. It's actually logged and tracked in the app. So something did happen. We know exactly who did it.
So I said, this is like, I'm going to share my Uber with so-and-so, so-and-so. And then at the end, I'll carry on in the same Uber and I'll come home and they'll have it on their phones. Yeah. I can track it with you, all of this stuff. But actually she made me so anxious about it, and I went on the night out and I ended up just drinking a bit too much, which made me feel even worse. And then the next day as well, I was just anxious about like, oh God, like you drank too much and you were just embarrassing and all of that. So it was just, that was annoying.
Have you had a conversation with your mom about how her anxiety causes you to get more worried about it?
I've had like one that was like heated, but that was just before going out.
But was that more reactive? Like, because she was putting pressure on you and you were getting frustrated and then it kind of...
Yeah.
So what I think would be really helpful to do is to pick your moment carefully, like find the moment that she's calm and you feel calm, and just say something like, Mum, I really appreciate how much you care for me and you want me to be safe. And it's a really wonderful, lovely thing. And I notice sometimes the way that you do it causes a lot of stress when there doesn't need to be. And what my commitment to you is that I will do ABC. So when I'm traveling home, I'll tell you when I'm gonna leave and I'll share my Uber. But as long as I do that, it'd be really helpful to me if you could not keep on kind of sharing your anxieties and concerns.
Yeah.
And just how do you think she, I don't know your mom, so, but how do you think she would respond if you communicated in that way?
I think she would understand it more. Definitely. And might.
Because where it comes from, of course, is that she loves you, she cares about you, and she wants to keep you safe.
Yeah.
That's what she's trying to say. But what you're hearing is panic, 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 panic. When you're really working hard to calm yourself down, the more kind of calmness you have in the environment, of course, the easier it is.
Yeah. No, I definitely think she would like kind of understand it and like be a bit like calmer with me. But yeah.
Because normally when we have these conversations, we do it when we get to our limit of frustration, and then we do it as an explosion, and then it has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
So the trick is to pick it at a moment where you're not reactive and she's not reactive, and it's just a really carefully worded, loving expression of what you need.
Yeah. No, that's definitely something that I have kind of thought about before, but I've just not really got around to doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And talk to me about last time I saw you, you were having a better week because you were doing some work, and we talked about the fact that having something to do, to focus on, that feels like it's a progression, and in a sense also stops your mind from running away, was really helpful. Have you had work since last time or not? Or
yeah, so I've had a bit of work pop up. So I had that one at the exhibition, which carried on for like a week after. And then I got called back into the school to do some like admin for them, which was really helpful. So yeah, I've had that at the moment. But yeah, looking for work has kind of been, it's made me feel a lot less anxious about it, because I think because I've been looking for other jobs, which I feel I have, I could probably get, whereas like the TV and film jobs, I'm like, it was just, I think it was making me more anxious because I was like, definitely not going to get these.
So, so what's the stuff that you have been applying for more recently?
Oh, literally just, so stuff near my house. So like there's an Itsu near me. So I applied for like a part-time there. And then the other stuff that I applied for are mainly like agency works for like events.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did for the exhibition.
Yeah, yeah.
So I quite enjoyed that. It was a temporary job. And I just thought I would love that and like something a bit different every time. So I've applied for like different agencies basically that I found. Yeah. So I'm hoping something they get back to me from that, which some of them have already.
I also think one of the unspoken things, well, sometimes spoken things in careers, is that who you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but who you know is often more important than what you know.
Yeah.
And the more at your stage of your career, you can expand your network and you can just get to know a lot of people in the industry, the better. A lot of the people doing that kind of event stuff, and often people doing front of house in theatre stuff, and is people like you, people that are also kind of out there hustling, trying to make things happen. And you just need to have a connection with one person who they get a bit of a break, and then they bring you, like, so even if you're doing a job which is a bit tedious and boring and not very well paid, the more you're just out there meeting people, getting to know people, expanding your network, I think that is really valuable.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also quite nice just because I feel like I'm doing something, but also like talking to everyone as well, like it kind of makes me feel like, oh, I'm being social, and like actually, oh, I managed that situation fine. Like, so it's kind of like building up my confidence.
Yeah. It's funny, I was having this conversation with one of the team in our training company recently, that it's really about constantly expanding what you feel comfortable doing.
Yeah.
So initially, like being in, you know, being a runner on a show might be a stretch, but you do that enough, then after a while, it's like, oh my God, I could do that in my sleep. And then you go and next stage, perhaps you know, if you want to be front of camera, you do a bit more of that. Even something like this, like the first time you sat here probably would have been like, holy shit, those lights and cameras. And you feel much more comfortable now, and maybe I'm wrong, but you feel more comfortable now than you did then. And I think it's just constantly putting yourself, not in a way where you're constantly pushing yourself in a way that's unkind, but just challenging yourself to get more comfortable and more familiar with more and more different situations, that then it's almost like if that's your comfort zone, you grow it to that and then to that. And then suddenly something that was a big stretch just becomes what you naturally comfortably do.
Yeah. And I also think this week I've been a lot like happier because I felt like the jobs that I've been applying for, there's like more hope there. And it's something a bit different as well, because it's like quite daunting when you've gone through all the TV and film jobs and you're like, well, I've applied for all of these ones available, there's literally nothing left. And yeah, I don't know what more I can do. Whereas the other ones, I'm like finding new stuff and like, obviously there's more, yeah, there is more hope, like, yeah. Oh, I'll hopefully get this.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I also think about the early years of my career, and some of my biggest breaks came in literally the most random like places.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I met the co-founder of the Optima Health Clinic nearly 20 years ago on a speed dating event. It's like, you do not go speed dating to meet someone you're going to spend 10 years building a company with.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, that's just how that's it was. How and, it, and it's like, the more that you give yourself opportunity, the more then opportunity comes.
Yeah.
It, last time we also talked about some of the biology of what happens with anxiety. And I was explaining about the adrenaline, cortisol, and how that happens. And just trying to give you a bit more of an understanding of that. Yeah. Was that helpful or not? I'm curious as to, on reflection, if that took some of the fear away from those sensations.
Yeah, I think also it kind of like made me think, oh, like it's not me and it's not fixed kind of thing. So it was definitely helpful to know like why it's happening. It's not anything that like is personal to me.
Right,
it's
right.
It's just science basically.
And it literally happens to hundreds of millions, if not billions of people. Like, I can't remember the exact stats, but a high percentage of people at some point in their life will struggle with either depression or anxiety in some way or some form.
Yeah.
But in a sense, the thing that makes anxiety so awful is the unknown terror of like, oh my God, am I going to die? Or what's happening? Or what if I part? Like the kind of extreme fear. And it's almost like when you actually, right now, the reason I feel this way is there's just tons of hormones pumping through my system. Yeah. And actually, the more that I think about the worst case scenario, the more I tell my body that that might happen. So the more it creates those hormones. But actually, it's just chemicals.
Yeah.
And actually, the calmer you are, the less that happens, the calmer you become, the less it happens. And then you're resetting your system as a result of that.
Yeah. I think it like also makes sense to me why, like now when I do exercise, I feel like if there's a science for like why it's there, it feels like, there's a science to like control it as well.
Totally. Well, one of the things that exercise does is the research shows it reduces cortisol. So cortisol is the stress hormone. Mm. So when you have an anxiety attack or when you're feeling really anxious, if we were to do a blood test or a urine test or a saliva test of your cortisol levels, they would be higher. When you exercise, you effectively what you do is you burn off some of that excess cortisol, which then lowers your level. Also, what happens is when you exercise, you sleep and you rest more deeply, which means that your system resets itself in a healthier way as well. So you also just release less of that in the first place. So there's a lot of evidence and research that shows that physical exercise and things like meditation and mindfulness doesn't just make you feel better, but it actually changes the biology of what's happening behind anxiety.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense now.
Yeah.
It's quite comforting to know why it's happening, or not why it's happening, but like, yeah, why it is happening.
How far did you get in the reset program? So you were doing module 3, because you mentioned about the kind of checking your times of day in terms of how you are. How did you get to do module 4 in terms of the stop process as well?
Yeah, there was actually one time where I did do the stop. and it was quite funny because like for a while it worked. But it was actually on the day that I went out and I was quite nervous to go because my mum had made me so nervous beforehand. And I remember doing it to myself in the toilets going like, stop. And it like helped calm me down quite a bit before. That was helpful. But after that, I still got anxious.
Yeah, so the thing to remember about the stop process is it's not a miracle panacea that you do it once and everything just sort of miraculously changes. It's almost like you've got two lines going along and you make a few degree shift in one of those lines and it doesn't look like much at the start. But if those two lines keep going, actually the distance gets further and further away.
Yeah.
So in a sense, what you're doing is you're gradually training your system. But if your pattern is, but I'm still anxious, it's not working, or my anxiety is getting worse, it's not working, then in a sense, you're putting yourself back into the anxiety state, as opposed to right now, I'm going to do this process. It might calm things, it might not. Yeah. But gradually over time, the general trend is you're teaching your system to be that much calmer. You mentioned that the two things that give you anxiety, particularly at the moment. One was the kind of your mom worrying about. So we talked a bit about that, and you've got a bit of a plan on that. You also mentioned that the anxiety about anxiety.
Yeah.
Say a bit more about that. And I, by the way, just to say, I recognize that putting a spotlight on this is probably not the thing you most want to do. Yeah. But just to qualify, the reason why we're doing that is that the more we can give you tools and strategies, effectively, we're trying to take this thing that feels completely out of your control and that happens to you and feels really scary to something that you know you can influence and is not happening to you. It's chemistry in your body that you're gradually retraining. So that's why it's helpful for us to talk about it.
So I think the reason is just because I've had moments where I've been really anxious before when I've gone out or done something, which pretty much most of them were right after COVID. So when we first were able to like pubs were opening. So I go and see my friends at the pub and then I just have a really bad, I just get really anxious, go to the toilet to kind of like calm myself down, but then realize, no, I just want to go home. So I feel like I've had those situations happen to me at that point in time.
So is part of what, because it's almost like we have formulas for how we create our state, right? So it's a little bit like having a recipe. You're going to make a chocolate cake, you need some eggs, you need some sugar, you need some flour, and you put all the things together in the right way, you get a chocolate cake. But if you change chocolate for coal, or you change, I don't know, eggs for paint mixer or something, you get a different outcome.
There
are certain ways that you think, certain ways that you breathe, certain ways that you move your body that create a state of anxiety. It sounds like one of the things that you do is you think about something that's coming up and you replay in your mind times that you've been in that situation and had anxiety and go, what if it's like that?
Is that
right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it,
And is there, you mentioned that example soon after lockdown that you went out. Is it generally that, or is there like a few different ones that you find yourself replaying and thinking about?
Yeah, it will just be like even just meeting one of my friends one-on-one. I feel like it was completely fine, looking back on it. But I just remember after that thinking, oh God, what was I talking about? Or why did I say that? And just thinking that it was really awkward between us, even though I knew that it wasn't. But I think it was because I hadn't done that in so long and I hadn't seen her in so long. So I feel like there was those moments. And then recently when I saw her again, I was like, oh, I'm going to feel the same. It's going to be a bit awkward.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, it was fine. It was just situations like that that I think I found made me quite anxious, and I think purely just because I hadn't done it for that whole year.
So
I think
that makes sense. So what's happening is you've got these few memories that were unpleasant at the time.
Yeah.
And then each time you think about going to certain situations, you replay those memories, and you kind of think, well, what if this happens and what if it's like that? And then understandably. Your body starts to get more anxious because it's like, well, what if it is like that? Which is a little bit like the penalty takers in the World Cup final for England, right? Because the reason they know how to score penalties. I mean, it's like if you were to take the three guys that missed, they probably score, I don't know, 80% of the penalties that they take. So statistically, at least two out of the three of them should have scored the penalties. But they also know it's like the most important moment of their entire life, like literally the most important moment of their life. And so what they're probably, I mean, I don't know this, but what they're probably doing when they're standing there is going, oh my God, what if I miss? What if I miss? What if I miss? If I miss, this is going to be terrible. If I miss. And it's like, so they're actually visualizing missing the penalty.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that has a big impact. And that's why visualization in, particularly in sports psychology, because it's like the result is so measurable, like you can see the impact immediately. It's so powerful. In a sense, what you're doing in that instance, when you're thinking about going and doing something and seeing yourself having anxiety, it's sort of the same, right? You're mentally rehearsing it being the way you don't want it to be.
Yeah.
And then of course, like your body goes, well, oh shit, if I go there and I do have anxiety, that's it's gonna be like, no one would want that, right? I wouldn't want that either. Yeah. It'd be horrible to go there and have anxiety. So maybe I shouldn't go. But then if I don't go, and then you probably go into like a, what I call mental tennis, where you go, well, if I go, I could do this, but if I don't go, I'm gonna let them down. And then you kind of rationalize it around in your head, which also probably raises your anxiety levels.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
because I'm constantly...
Hopefully, like, I just got into your head and just sort of pulled it all around. But that is what, it is the formula that when we have anxiety that we do, we take bad experience from the past and we put it in, we visualize it in the future as though it's going to happen, and then we keep replaying it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like when I was like trying to, there was like a book that I was doing, which is like a manifesting book. And I did it once, read the whole book once, really, really enjoyed it, felt like it made me like a lot happier. So like probably a few months ago when I was feeling low, I was like, I'll do it again. But then I would like meditate and try and visualize like good things. But then I would just be like, oh no, like now I'm making it bad because I'm like visualizing me like not getting the job or like something like that. So so it was definitely like this kind of like battle in my head being like, no, just like visualize the good stuff. And I just couldn't, like,
and then so you get stressed trying to do that.
And it was like the same thing with meditation, was I would like meditate and then all of these like bad thoughts would come into my head, and I'd be like, well, that just did the complete opposite to what I like was meditating in the first place. So
this is what, there's different ways that we can work. There's a few ways we'll work with this, but particularly this is where the stop process is really helpful. Because when we get into an internal battle of we're trying to visualize the positive, but then that sort of sneaky voice in our head says, yeah, but what if this happens? We go, no, I want to visualize. What if? We end up kind of getting more and more kind of stressed as a result of it. Just recognizing that that's what's happening is helpful, because then we can use your stop process to go, hang on, I'm imagining all the worst things happening, or I'm trying to imagine the positive, but then I'm worrying about the worst, to be able to just see that and to stop and to calm and reset your system. Something else that we may well come to as well is taking some of those memories that are replaying and restructuring those in how you think about them. And what I mean by that is a little bit like having a record. You remember like CDs back in the day, those CDs, and you play a CD, but then if you get a few scratches on the CD, it doesn't play in the same way.
Yeah.
So you're replaying certain memories. If we can change the way that you, not gonna change the memories because what happened happened, but if we can change the way that you think about those memories, then it doesn't carry the same emotional charge, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So when you were doing your stop, it sounds, when you said you're in the bathroom and you were doing your stop, you probably felt like a bit of a plonker doing your stop the first few times. Yeah. I mean, most of us feel a bit strange initially, but it's like what I was saying earlier, it's like growing the comfort zone that one gets more comfortable doing it. How were you doing your stop? Was it like that or like that?
It was one hand.
Yeah.
Because when I watched the video, I did them all.
Yeah.
And I felt like the one hand felt the most normal. Yeah. And yeah, helped me. Like, I feel like it just worked better.
Yeah. And how were you saying, was it like stop or pause or like what?
I did stop.
Yeah.
And then I just do like some deep breaths and like wait a while and like kind of like repeat the stop, but like in my head.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I definitely felt calmer and like kind of like instantly like happier. And then I guess, cause it was at my friend's house, I'd just gone to my friend's house before, and then I was like feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And then when I went to the toilet, I did that, I came back out, and I guess I just kind of carried on. Like I didn't really, kind of completely forgot that I had done the stop. And I was fine.
Yeah.
But I guess subconsciously, I think it just was still there. The like whatever the issue was, the anxiety was still there. So I think it, yeah, it kind of like showed in me just like drinking more. Yeah, which ended up with me being like the next day, oh gosh, like I shouldn't have drunk that much, and feeling anxious about that whole night before, saying sorry to all of my friends, even though they were like, what? I literally don't know what you're saying sorry for.
You're like, nor do I, because I can't remember.
Yeah, literally.
But I think the thing to think about here is we want to be really careful not to go into a mindset of, has it worked? Is it working? Oh, but I was still anxious. We're trying to just gradually shift the balance, right? So another way to think about it is like a seesaw. And on one side of the seesaw is all the anxieties, all the things you're stressed about, all the things that cause your system to get overstimulated. On the other side is all the tools and techniques, the stop process, the meditation, the exercise, other things we will come to. Like, and it's about shifting the balance enough that you find yourself in a calm, healing state. It doesn't mean you have to resolve all the worries or get rid of all the anxieties. It's just having enough strategies and tools that you're able to shift that balance.
Yeah.
So we want to be careful that that pattern of, is it working? It hasn't worked. It's not going to work. That we just don't give that too much attention or too much traction. That it's not about any one time you do it. It's about gradually teaching your system to become calmer over time.
Yeah.
So you were doing stop. So show me again. So like stop.
Stop.
Like,
yeah.
Okay, good. And as we're sat here talking now, what is there coming up, like when you're perhaps going out, or a time that typically that what I call anticipatory anxiety would come in?
So what I'm thinking is, yeah, just like mainly like my next worry is tomorrow evening I'm supposed to go out. And I'm not really anxious at the moment about being anxious.
But you might be tomorrow afternoon or like if you get closer.
But also what I'm anxious about now about it is just the getting home. But yeah, at the moment I'm not anxious because it's somewhere that's near to where I live.
Where are you going?
It's literally just to a little like pub slash bar.
Right.
That we've like always gone to, and it's just in Ealing, really close to me. And so I'm still worried about how I'm going to get home. Well, not really how I'm going to get home, just, yeah, having the conversation, my mum, like having, yeah, just thinking about her. But actually I'm not yet anxious. I think because I've done that bar so often.
Yeah. So going back to what we were saying, it's kind of in your comfort zone somewhat.
Yeah. It's not like I have to travel far for it. It's like very, very close. I know it so well. I've had so many good nights out there.
Which is also interesting, by the way, because remember what I was saying around your brain's trying to guess or imagine how you're going to feel.
Yeah.
And you've got a good stack of positive memories.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like you and your brain's going, am I going to be anxious? Or actually, I've got that memory. No, I think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there anything a bit further out that when you think about it is a bit more of a stretch in terms of where you're going?
Yeah. Do you mean like things that I'm anxious about? There's my friend's birthday, which actually the night out where I ended up drinking too much and going home early, I also spent £40 on an Uber because I was just like I need to go home. And I was in Hackney going all the way to West London. And I spent so much money on an Uber, but I just like had to in that moment. And like all of my friends are like, there's no way that I was getting on a night bus or anything like that. So that bar my friend really liked. So she wants to go back there for her birthday, which is in a few weeks.
Right.
But actually, yeah, I'm not that anxious about it at the moment.
But it might be the case that if it was the afternoon now and it was this evening, that you might remember that time and start running that through your mind.
Yeah, definitely. And that time before was the only time that I've ever been there as well. So I was a bit okay.
Good. So let's work with both of these examples. Let's work with the one about going out tomorrow night and your mum, and then we'll also work about going to your friend's party.
Yeah.
When I say work with it, what I mean is we'll just practice doing the stop process on it.
Okay.
So as you sit here now and you're thinking about going out tomorrow night, it's not like a big like stress or anxiety, but there's like, how am I going to get home? And like, When you start thinking about that, how do you feel in your body?
I'm just like, I don't know. My heart kind of like is like racing a bit.
So there's
more.
A little bit of like an anxiety feeling that comes in. Yeah. And can you see how just by thinking about it, that sends a message to your body to start pumping some more cortisol, more adrenaline? So going back to what we said last time, and we're saying that there's like a recipe. Like you think about something, and then it sends a message. So we want to change what you're thinking. We want to change the message effectively that you're sending. When you were doing the stop process, were you doing it with your eyes open or closed?
I did it with my eyes closed.
So it might be easier now to close your eyes, but you can open your eyes. It's not like you have to sit there and go, I can't open my eyes. So you can kind of be a bit fluid. But if you want to close your eyes for a moment, just imagine thinking about going out tomorrow night. Notice that you get that little bit of that kind of feeling in your chest. And then as you notice the thoughts about it, like how will I get home and what if this happens? When you're ready, do your stop. So you go. So you do the gesture and you say the word.
Stop.
And then relax your hand and then just feel the feeling of your body on the sofa. Feel the feeling of your toes. Notice your shoulders relaxing. And just feel that feeling of that stop in your body. It's like you recognize there's a certain pathway of thinking that you've spent a lot of time in the past going down, but actually you don't need to. And actually instead, you can send the message to your body to relax, to be calm, to be here in this moment. And just like when you do your meditation and you notice that you feel more relaxed, you find yourself just being able to come into the moment. Just feel the weight of your body on the sofa, feel your hands, and feel your shoulders relaxing. And inside of your mind, you hear the words, very good, well done. And then allow yourself to open your eyes when you're ready. How does that feel?
Yeah, it's calming.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Can you see how, if every time you started to send a message to worry to your body, you'd stopped and you sent a message to be calm? Mm. Can you see how in time, doesn't mean you're never going to get worried or never get stressed, but it's almost like if that's your baseline at the moment, over time, you would gradually teach your system to become calmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take the other example. Let's imagine it's like a few weeks' time and you're thinking about, it's maybe the afternoon or the day before of going to the bar where you had the eventful time last time. And then when you're ready, just close your eyes for a moment. Imagine starting to think about, you're replaying that memory and you're remembering, when you do that, actually you're telling your system to be worried about it when actually you don't need to. And then again, when you're ready, you put your hand up and you go, stop.
Stop.
Okay, good. Relax your hands. And again, just feel your mind pausing, recognizing that actually you can tell your body to do something different. You can tell your mind to do something different. You deliberately, in this moment, notice your breathing being a little bit deeper. You notice the muscles in your face and in your neck and in your shoulders relaxing a bit more easily. You feel the feeling of your feet, your toes, and just feeling a bit heavier as you feel the sofa supporting the weight of your body. And then again, inside of your mind, you hear the words, very good, well done. And then again, you can open your eyes when you're ready. What are you doing now?
Yeah, I feel it's really nice.
Yeah. What else is there that when you think about it now, in the old way of thinking, you would have likely started to kind of rehearse things not being the way you want them to be?
Yeah.
What else can you think of like that?
So what do you mean?
So, sorry, I asked the question a bit better. So we've taken the example of kind of how you're going to get home, and also the example of going somewhere that's either not familiar or going somewhere that's been a bad kind of experience before. What else can you think of that either you find yourself rehearsing in an anxiety way, or, you know, that kind of anticipatory anxiety, either situations coming up or other times that you notice yourself getting anxious?
Just Not sure.
It's okay. Just,
yeah, I don't really know, really.
How do you feel right now? Because we've just spent the last, whatever it is, 40 minutes talking about anxiety.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I feel quite calm right now.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel anxious really at all. I feel like really calm.
Because you remember last time, one of the things we were talking about is that just the very kind of thing of talking about anxiety was anxiety inducing.
Yeah.
And remember I'd said to you that it was almost like you'd learnt to deny or pretend that you weren't anxious because you didn't want to have to talk about it, because if you talk about it, it makes it worse.
Yeah.
So it was almost like the monster got bigger because it was like we were kind of not, we're pretending it's not here. Mm. And then actually we've just spent, you know, 45 minutes I think it is so far, talking about anxiety, and actually you seem pretty calm when you came in, but yeah, you seem even calmer now.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you when we look at it like that?
Yeah, it does.
What does that mean about you and your relationship to anxiety?
That actually, I can control it.
Hmm.
And it doesn't have so much control over me that I previously thought it did.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How does it feel to say that?
Yeah, it's quite good.
Yeah. If you'd said that to yourself at the beginning of our first session or last session,
yeah,
would you have believed that?
Oh, no, definitely right. Not. No.
And the point of what we're saying right now is not that you're never going to have anxiety again, or
yeah,
that there won't be, even be times between now and next time where anxiety feels tricky. This is not a black and white binary thing of either anxiety is in control as how it felt before, or you're always in control, which is a bit more what it feels like now. It's just going back to that seesaw, and it's like before it felt like all the power was with the anxiety, and now it feels like there's some power and then some influence with you.
Yeah.
And it's like the worst case scenario is it might be that you have a really bad episode of anxiety, but you know something you didn't know before.
Yeah.
You know that whatever it feels like, it's biochemistry. And the biochemistry has got too much adrenaline, too much cortisol, too much stress hormones that are pumping. But you know that at some point it's going to calm and it's going to settle.
Yeah.
But the better case scenario, which I think is more what you're going to experience and more what you're going to see, is that you have ways of setting things up so that you win. So going back to the example of the penalty takers, with the right mental strategies and the right tools, it doesn't guarantee that next time they're going to score the penalty, but it increases the likelihood they're going to score the penalty, right?
Yeah.
Because if they're like, if I don't get this right, or if it means I have to get this right to score the penalty, like the pressure, that in of itself becomes anxiety inducing.
Yeah.
As opposed to you just want to stack the odds in your favor the very best that you can.
Yeah.
Which then comes back to the daily routine and practices that you're using, like the running and the weights and the exercise, I think is really important. And I'm really impressed that you've really stuck to that and you've got structure with that. I think the meditation is also really important. I think it's also really great that you're getting busier in terms of job and work, you know, for the reasons we talked about at the start, around network, around having focus, around having a sense of momentum in terms of what you're doing. I think the next piece to work with is this piece around practicing the stop process.
Yeah.
I would love to see you doing it at least 5 or 6 times a day, going for a few rounds of the process. Like it might be in the morning before you get out of bed.
Yeah.
It might be kind of when you get back from the gym. It might be before lunch. Like having some regular, we want to have some proactive times that you do it. And obviously you can use it reactively, that if you find yourself getting anxious, you can go, hang on, I'm going to use the stop process to calm things down. But we also want to be proactive with it. Because in a sense, what you're doing is that throughout the day, just by being stimulated, by being busy, we're getting a bit more kind of adrenalized in our system. And there's a kind of threshold that when you cross it is when anxiety starts to feed anxiety.
Mm.
And we want to try and keep your overall stress levels low enough that we don't go past that threshold where it gets that momentum. So it's like through the day, you're gradually ramping up a bit, and then you do your stop process and you bring it down again. And it ramps up a bit, and you, it's like a bit like having a pressure cooker, that you just keep letting the pressure out a little bit.
Yeah.
So you're then, in doing that, you're training your nervous system. Mm. You're training yourself to be in a calmer state, which then means when it gets to that kind of time of day, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, where you'd be more likely to get anxious because perhaps you're going out, your system's that much calmer that it doesn't get the momentum into the anxiety it would have done otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
How do you feel about putting that into practice?
Good, like I feel like I'm looking forward to doing it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good. Good. And, you know, sometimes at this point, I give people a bit of a pep talk around commitment and motivation. Mm. But I'm sat with someone who's doing running and weights like pretty much every day, meditating every day. I actually genuinely believe you can do this. I'm not going to give you my kind of like little 3-minute pep talk that sometimes comes out.
Because I think you will. And I know that, like, so even when I can't be bothered to exercise and stuff. And sometimes that does really happen.
Yeah, and after everyone. Yeah.
And then I have my day where I haven't gone and done the exercise and then I feel awful. And then I'm like, the next day I know I'm going to have to exercise. Yeah. So it's kind of like that. Like I know how it can impact me. So if I'm already sat here and I've done it and I feel good, then like I know that I do want to do it and see it through.
Good. And you'll also find in the Reset program, there's an audio version that you can always download and have on your phone. So if you do go out and you find yourself particularly worried in a moment, you can actually put it on your headphones and listen to it and actually use that as a way to calm things down as well. There are definitely some more strategies and tools that we can bring in as well. And some that are not in the Reset program that I think would be really helpful. But I'm also mindful of not adding too many things in. Like I feel like with the exercise, with the meditation, and now with the stop process, you've got a really good little toolkit there. Uh-huh. And I think let's give that the chance to really kind of get bedded in. What questions have you got for me? Or do you have any questions?
I don't know. I don't really think I have any questions, really.
Okay, good. Keep going. You're doing really well, Sanaya.
Okay, thank you.
I'm really pleased to hear that you've been committing and following through, because that's also, it's its own act of self-love, right? Like it's saying, I care about myself enough, or I care about my well-being enough, that I'm gonna commit to myself. So well done for doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. You're welcome. Good. So I will see you, we'll have a look in a minute at times, and I'll see you in a few weeks.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I hope you found this week's episode helpful. And hopefully also you get the take-home message that anxiety is something that can be changed. We aren't born anxious. We have learned and trained ourselves to have anxiety patterns and responses. And with the right tools and strategies and support, it's absolutely possible to reset and to rewire our nervous system. If you'd like to find out more about how to do that, there's a free 3-part video series for my Reset program. You can find details in the link below this video, and the next intake of the program starts at the end of January. In next week's episode, we're going to be catching up with Sally from season 2. Sally has recently been back to Spain as part of her processing of the loss of her mother. She also has some very exciting news about developments in her career. So I look forward to talking with you next week.